And I get to teach today, and every now and then they let me. And so this is my Sunday to get to teach. Amen. So I do double duty today. And I enjoy every part of pastoring, almost every part. I won't talk about the other parts that I don't enjoy, but I enjoy most of it. And this part, teaching, has always been something that I've looked forward to. But I enjoy also the fact, and it's something that gives me a lot of pleasure, and that is knowing we have other ministers that teach here and do a great job. And I enjoy coming and hearing them. And I think it's always the sign of stability when you've got others that are able to step in. Amen. I want to go to Luke chapter 12 and verse 27 through 32. And consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So looking at something that grows from the ground that is so common all over the world, basically, and you look at that one flower, that it won't last long. It won't be there a long time. But Solomon could not have arrayed himself with more beauty. He had to have help. And yet this lily grows of its own accord in such simplistic, perfect beauty. He said, if then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Now, we can mark off that first part. Most of us, I'm sure, don't wake up worrying that you're not going to have anything to eat. Your kids don't. They'll tell you there's nothing in this house to eat. Your kids will tell you that. Because your house does not have a drive-through, and the walk-through doesn't have what they want, and they'll say, there's nothing in this house to eat. So we can knock that off. Our country is blessed. We are blessed. Sometimes abundantly blessed. But we can look at this next part, nor have an anxious mind. And it may not be what we're going to eat, but anxiety can tear us down. Anxiety can have an effect on us. It can remove our strength. It can remove our health. Anxiety, things in the past can creep back into our lives. But he said, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. He already knows this. Others that don't know your Father, they seek after these things. They will kill to get some of these things because of the desperation that it might cause, because they don't have faith. They don't lie back in that hope of a Savior that's with them. But all of these things they seek after. But your Father already knows what you need. He knows more than I do what I need. I might pray for this, but he gives me that, which that gives me this and that. You know, he knows exactly what I need. I don't know exactly, but our Father knows exactly what we need. But he said, but seek the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. So instead of me trying to take inventory and have a checklist, he said, let's do this the right way. Seek the kingdom of God. Do that, and then all the things that you need are going to be yours. If you seek that one thing, just seek the kingdom of God. In verse 32, I have highlighted here in my notes, do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now think about this. And I know this is like one of those scriptures, it's like going to the chiropractor. You go there and he makes your back make all kind of noises, and you want that. It makes you feel like you're getting your money's worth. And you stand up and you have mobility. But you go back next month or week, 2 weeks, whatever, and guess what? More crunching, and you feel better again. So understand that your Father knows the things. He knows what is truly needed. We think we know what we need. But he already knows, and it's his pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yes. Now, I can't crack my own back. I can't reach around there. And, you know, we try to massage and we can buy contraptions that'll help us out. But there's professionals that can look at the way you walk and say, you know, you've got a muscle pull on this side of your body and this is out of alignment. And, you know, and a few touches here and there and you get popped back into shape. Your Heavenly Father made you, and He recognizes and knows the things you truly need. And therefore, we sometimes pray in the wrong direction, but He takes that to our account and gives us what we need rather than what we're asking for. Matthew 13 and 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Honestly, I could read that scripture just about every Sunday and it'd be good with me. Because I love what that tells us. We have to understand the value of what the church is. Yes. So much that we'll sell out for it. Amen. Everything else, because this is truly what we need right in here. Amen. So it is the Father's good pleasure today to give us what we have need of. He wants to give you all that's good. Now think about this now. I'm not a name it, claim it preacher, you know that. But there's things we need from Him, and He wants to give us those things. Why? Well, first of all, He likes to see us happy, and it secures and binds the relationship. God is all about the relationship. Yes. Amen. Yes. It's good to be passionate about things, because what we're passionate about, we'll ask Him about. What we ask Him about, that's where He responds. Amen. And I know you realize this, that we go to Him in prayer, and as we begin to pray, we're drawn around into alignment with Him as we pray. As we pray, we're drawn into a position, and it pulls us in alignment with where we need to be with God. And as we are drawn in, we're focused on what He really, truly needs to give us. I thank God today that if He can ever get us in a point to just go to Him in prayer, He will give us the things that we need. It is His good pleasure. Amen. Receiving the Holy Spirit is a miracle in itself. Amazing demonstration of power, a demonstration of His love, a demonstration of God's deliverance. That's awesome what the Holy Ghost is. It's just the most amazing thing. All at once, God delivers us, He saves us, and He changes our natural destiny. He changes our direction that we're going through filling us with the Holy Ghost. Now, that's the potential we have. From that point of the infilling, there's more that has to occur. We know that. We have to engage in a relationship. If we don't engage in the relationship, what we do is we continue to feed the flesh, and it will be weighted towards the world, and we'll go back to where we came from. That's the danger. Why we have church. That's why we come and worship, and we teach the same things. We preach sometimes the same things. But it's all about equipping us to be successful in this world. Amen. Giving us the tools we need to be successful. And so, but it's only a birth. There's an expected growth beyond the initial experience. It's called the new birth experience. And that's a great analogy, but it's not just an analogy. It is, in its essence, what it really is. We are born again of water and spirit. Born again of water and spirit. Thank God that we're born again. And when we are born again, as a baby, we grow from that first state to a one of maturity. We eat different things and we nurture and nourish ourselves, and the Spirit of God leads us, you know, into greater things. And so it is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and it is a necessary step for the church. Amen. Now, my lesson title today is More Than a Doorkeeper. I've talked about a doorkeeper before, not too long ago. I don't remember what sermon it was, but I know it was, I dealt with doorkeepers. And a doorkeeper was not somebody that just made sure the door was in good shape. They didn't, you know, scrape paint and paint it. But a doorkeeper was there as like the usher that you would come in, and the doorkeeper was there to make sure everyone was taken care of as they entered into the place of worship. And they were at that point where they got to see those coming and those going. And David had said famously, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents. And when he said tents, what he meant would, in our current setting, it would be like me saying, I'd rather stand back there as an usher of the house of God than to be living in a mansion with millionaires. That's basically what, you know, where those men that are stockbrokers and they rule the world, basically. I'd rather be back there welcoming people in and trying to listen to the first part of the service. I'd rather be doing that than to be living high and mighty and be a wealthy man. I'd rather be back there. That's kind of, in a sense, how we can compare that. And it's, you know, often one of the most quoted verses to announce that humble attitude of, I'm just glad to be here. That's all. I'm just glad to be here. It's good to be that humble and be glad to be here. But, and I'm glad for the humility that is there. But for today, I think we need to go beyond that mindset and think, I don't want to just be at the door. I don't want to just have that thing to do. And I'm not talking about our ushering system here. We have great guest relations people, and I think that's wonderful. But that's not what we're aspiring to be. That's a great need for the church. Our guests that walk in, they need to be greeted by somebody. Greeters are front and center, the flavor of the church, amen, and they must have a smile on their face. We put a lot of effort into that and also trying to get information from our guests in not a pushy manner. We spend a great deal of research on that, trying to do the best we can. But I don't want the door to be the thing that that's not the pinnacle of my relationship with God. That's something I want to do in the church, but that's not my relationship with God. I got to go beyond that part right there. Amen. In other words, if we let that door job back there be, once you're there, there's nowhere else to go. You've made it. You know, you're the CEO of the company. The Bible tells us, you know, David said, I'd rather be one, but the Bible never glorified that position and says, that's what you need to be. There's more to this than that, and I'm thankful that there is. If those that kept the door back there, if they never did anything else, if they just went home, got in their car, and drove off, and, you know, well, I hope the sermon was good, we kept the door. That wouldn't work. You couldn't live for God that way. Rush to church, get in the door, open it, walk out, go back home. Hope maybe you can download the sermon later on. That wouldn't be a relationship, would it? But David is saying, I'd rather do that than be in a place where the wealthy people are, because I know the value versus the value. It's nothing. You can't compare the riches of being that close to God's presence and that close to where the people of God are congregating. And Psalms 84 and 10 says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. And what he means is a thousand elsewhere. Lord, one day with you. One day with you. Think about what it takes for that one day in the presence of God to be better than a thousand elsewhere. What does it take? Well, here's the thing. Have you ever walked into a service, had your note and pen out, your notepad, and you're going to take notes, and there was something that was said, maybe in a song, a testimony, a lesson, or a sermon that redirected your whole life? You ever been to that service? And then it was also amplified by the presence of God that met afterwards. And it set you on a new course. An hour, 2 hours in the house of God, and you're forever from that day forward on a track that you're never going to get off of. That's what he's talking about. I'd rather be, Lord, in your courts in one day than a thousand everywhere else, because I may get my answer in that one day. I may get my direction, my marching orders. I might get awarded some blessing that I didn't know was coming in that one day. And that one day is going to set me on a journey that's going to be filled with more and more blessings and more experiences that glorify God in my life. Oh, it's awesome when you get it. You know, there's levels in serving God. And isn't it wonderful when something clicks and you just get it? Like, oh, I get this. I realize something now. We see that. We go through it as we serve God. And there's levels in this. And the Lord is so gracious to just ease us into another level. Just ease us into another place by Him. And take us through the turbulence and take us through new places and vistas we look at and see His power and His glory. And it blesses us. And I'll tell you, serving in the church can be taxing. Can I get an amen there? Yeah, serving in any position in the church can be taxing. Sometimes our nursery workers, God bless those that work in the nursery. God bless our nurse workers, the sound people that work in the sound, and now it's sound and media. They need our prayers, amen, because they are there, and anytime something happens, they just, everybody turns and looks at them like, what'd y'all do? What'd y'all do to my world? I think it'd be good, I think, if everybody go up there some night and just stand there and watch what they have to deal with. Be sure everything's right on target, and a malfunction occurs and everybody thinks they messed something up. And see, not every minute that we're here is everybody in a position of just, this is wonderful. It's wonderful. Sometimes ministry, working in the kingdom, can be very taxing and very draining. I remember a pastor was talking one time about his routine. Brother Alan Oggs, he was pastoring in Gainesville. And in his routine, he said, I had a routine where there's a breezeway between my part of the church, my office, and the auditorium. He would walk in this door, and it might have been this door, and come right up on the platform. I believe that's how it worked out. He said, when I studied for my sermon, I didn't want to talk to anybody. And I wanted to go from my office to the platform. And he said, that was my routine. I walked out at the same time, right at the same time. Maybe, I don't know, service had just started. Or he didn't want anybody to pull him aside and say, you know, let me pour out my burden upon you. He wanted to just come on the platform. And he said, one day I walked out of my office and a sister had figured out my routine. And she was just standing there waiting to pounce. And he walked out and she says, Brother, I just want to tell you something. This is horrible what's going on. And he sat there while she just poured everything out and just wrecked his routine. And the advice he gave her wasn't the advice she was looking for. He more talked about how that she didn't need to do that, but need to get an appointment and come at another time. And he said, it messed up the whole service. I'm thinking to myself, come on, man, get a grip. But that's not me. I'm not him, and he's not me. So I didn't call him and say that wasn't a good thing. I just said, I hope I don't ever get that routine where I can be messed up by one conversation. Amen. But we all have routines in our life that, you know, can throw us off sometimes. But that part of ministering can get heavy sometimes. But I want to tell you something about God. Don't ever feel sorry for me and my wife. All right, don't feel sorry for us. Because for us, for me to say, you've got to pity the things we go through, would be for me to say, my God is a little shortchanged when it comes to blessing us in relation to the amount of work that we do. I don't know what's wrong with our God. No. I want to tell you something. He is well able to bless us and make everything work out. Amen. Oh, we serve a great God. We serve a great God. And so I want to tell you, being a doorkeeper, yeah, that might be a great thing, but there's more to this than being at a door. And I love our people that serve at the door, but I promise you, every one of them do something besides the door. And I'm really not talking about greeters anyway, you know, because that wasn't what David was referring to. I'm thankful today that we don't have to wash everybody's feet that walk into the church. That's what they had to do. Come on, everybody line up and, you know, we're going to wash the dust off. And oh, that was the job for the lowest of the low. But he said, I'd be there before I'd go to that tent of the wealthy people. I'd be there. Amen. So in a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold. You know, sometimes I have to check myself and say, why haven't you asked God for help lately? That's a good thing just to pause and say, why haven't you asked your God for help lately? What's going on with you? See, I think really that we get off track, first of all, when we satisfy the flesh, and next thing you know, you got to do maintenance on the flesh you satisfy. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then you're going to get it through the right channels. All these things will be added unto you. Just a little note there. Here's the deal. If you can just get in the door. Just get in his presence. If you can place yourself within his earshot, you've got his whole kingdom in front of you. Think about that. When you get in the presence of God, where is the presence of God? Well, we know he's everywhere. I believe really the presence of God is where he's addressed. It's where he's addressed. Amen. Ha. Have you ever been in that dry and thirsty land where no water is and you get alone somewhere? I've walked into a little nook of a hospital waiting area over beside the soda machine and just walked in there and just got alone with God and said, Lord, I need you to give me some answers today. I need you to give me words of comfort. I need you right now to bless me. And I can just feel the Spirit of God just clothe me with what I need. And I can walk with boldness into a room and say, everything's going to be all right. I feel something from God and can transfer that faith to somebody that's in a hospital bed. But I had to get in a place where I could say, all right, Lord, you've got my ear, and I've got your ear, and I want you to listen to what I'm going to say, because I need to engage with the power of God right now. And there's more to this. It's another level of getting to where he is. Malachi 4:2 says, but you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Think about this. He will shine in your life like the sun shines throughout our world and enlighten and warm every part of your existence. God will not allow one part of your life to not be covered by his blessings. Every part of your life. Amen. He is a thorough God. This is a unique thing to notice, and I know you've noticed this. You pray for a blessing and you pour out your heart. God hears all things you say, and he will bless you beyond what you hope, expect, or even recognize. I have looked back and only later saw that his blessings covered me more than I ever asked him. I know it was in my request, but I didn't expect the blessing that he gave, because he knows how to do more than what we ask him to do. He knows how to do more than we ask him to do. It's like going to your doctor and saying, I just need you to take care of the symptom, and he knows what you've got, and so he prescribes something that more than covers the symptom, because there's another problem hidden that's got to be taken care of, and so he gives you more than what you ask for, because he knows more than you know. Your heavenly Father, you may ask for bread, and he says, I'll give you bread, but there's something else you truly need. Something about prayer, that's awesome. And it's just about the relationship of drawing closer to God. The more we pray, the more of God we understand. And so in the beginning of a relationship with even anybody, a person, you don't really know everything about them. And the relationship grows and you learn more and more about that person. But when we begin to serve the Lord the way that we do, and prayer is a major part of our life, that prayer draws us into a knowledge of God, to where we learn to navigate, get ourselves out of the way. That's huge. And then begin to pray to a God who has wisdom to give us maybe not what we asked, but to take care of what we're asking for through another means. Amen. I've been praying before and thought, Lord, I'm going to back up and reposition my request, because I realize I'm in the wrong position. I need to get out of the center and put you in the center. God has proven through prayer that it's the relationship that really he was looking for. Let me put it this way. He can mess your world up a little bit to draw you closer so that you'll get out of the center and let him get there. And at the end, he puts you in your place, and then now you're revolving around him rather than the other way around. We just get out of order sometimes. We do. We get out of order. Little trouble comes. Next thing you know, you're looking at your trouble going, yeah, I see why it was there. Thank you, God, for the understanding that I have about my trouble. Amen. If you have a doorkeeper mentality, just let that be that first position and thank, Lord, I'm going to get a raise soon. And remember, I'm not talking about greeters at our doors. If I'm just saying, I just want to be there where I can just hear your voice. Lord, I want to be there where I can just sense your presence. That's humble, and that might be all right at first, but he's not willing to leave you in that position at just inside the door. His desire is to bring you further, to bring you deeper. I don't want to get comfortable there. I don't want to get by with low expectations. The glory of God is that I might live above that level and continue to serve him. Amen? Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing. The New King James would say, be anxious for nothing. A word we may be more familiar with. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. The word supplication is not a duplicate of prayer. To supplicate, that word, it means to lower myself, to bow down, to lose my dignity, to lose myself, to lose myself. You know, you've had children, they've asked you things, and there's so many levels of their asking. Sometimes they'll ask just because. You know, they're 9 years old. Could you buy me a car, Dad? They don't even get a response like, yeah. It wouldn't from my dad. And then as they get older, you know, or they ask within range, you know, of what they want, there's things that they may move you with these things. But supplication means there's a different level of request. You lower yourself in worship to him. The word worship just means to bow before him. With prayer and to supplicate, to lower yourself, to put yourself low in his presence. In other words, that lifts him up. With thanksgiving. So, Lord, you're everything. I'm nothing in your sight, God. I wouldn't be here without your mercy. But I've got to say thank you for the life you've given me. I've got to say thank you for what you're doing right here in my life. With thanksgiving, Lord, give us today thanksgiving. Oh, God, that we don't forget to be thankful for what we do have. The news we read, the news going on around the world, it's, of course, news is mostly bad. Otherwise, they wouldn't report it. The bombings on London Bridge and the Ariana Grande concert, makes the news. Good things don't always make the news. I read news. I try to read news from around the world so that I don't get tunnel vision from just looking at how they filter it through this country. And I go to different sources. There's several, a little more, some of them a little more accurate perhaps, because I just want to see really what's going on. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of good news that doesn't get reported out there. A lot of good stuff that's going on. And if you get into a news mode of thinking, in your mind you feel like everything outside of our country, everything in the Mideast is in total chaos and everybody's running from burning buildings. And yet there are little countries over there that people go and visit and live for a few weeks or months as vacation in resorts and very close to where that stuff's at, but they've never had any trouble. There's places there that are, the news don't report peace. They don't report peace. Yet another day, and this country is gone for now then 12 years without one sign of a trouble or anything else. They don't report that. It's boring. We wouldn't buy those newspapers. We wouldn't click onto those websites. But there's places in this world where there's good things going on. Amen. There's always good things. And life is full of some. I'm not jaded. I don't have blinders on. But sometimes the bad news, I just get tired of reading the bad news. I do. I get tired of reading the bad news. That's why this gospel is called the good news. Amen. The good news. It surpasses the bad news. The thing about the bad news is it's been here since the world just about began. When Cain slew Abel, it made headlines. Trust me, they heard about that. Made headlines. And from that day on, that was the first murder. And there were some more murders after that. And I think there's been quite a few after that since that day. So there's always going to be bad news. I love it. Mission Sundays when Sister Michelle gets up here and starts reading the good news of that very day. That Sunday, people have been filled with the Holy Ghost on the other side of the world that very day. Thank God for that. Good news. Thank you, Lord, for good news. It's always going to be good news. That's what the gospel means is good news. And I believe that. So I don't want to have low expectations. But with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And this is what the world's missing right here. And the peace of God passes all understanding. The peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Not pleasures for Friday evening, but pleasures forevermore. Lord, it's right there in your power. I don't got to stand at the door. I want to be in your presence because at your right hand, you're going to give us pleasures all the time if we stay there where you're at, God. He said, an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. You know what he meant? They don't stay connected just because of a relationship. They're looking for something else. Amen. Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Lord, I don't serve you because I'm fearful of hell. I'm not serving God because I'm afraid of retribution. There is joy in this life. Oh, there's so much joy. I thank God for the joy. You know, when you give your kids something for Christmas or birthday, or, you know, it's nice to watch them open it. We have a video of one of Jared's birthdays. Was it two or one? I don't remember. He started crying. He had all these presents. He started crying because other kids were there. And he was overwhelmed by just the volume of kids. I was overwhelmed by the volume of the kids were making. But he saw the toys, and there was no way he knew. He couldn't keep it all and get it. It just was, and he just overwhelmed. He started crying. And we're like, well, what's wrong? You got all this. He didn't have any capacity to put that or emotion. It just overwhelmed him. Just, you know, think about your father. He's better at giving gifts than we are. We throw our kids a party and invite other kids to come watch them get toys that those kids don't get to take home. Our father isn't like that. He's very wise in how he does these things. And the Lord bless us for our kindness to our kids. And then the grandkids, we wouldn't even get into that kind of stuff. Lord helps us with that. But there's in God giving us the kingdom, there's mutual satisfaction. He loves to watch you be blessed. God loves to see you being blessed. You know, when they're young, you know, you may give the kids fun stuff, but that's a point I remember growing up where I started getting practical gifts. What that meant was gifts you're not going to really like that much, but you're going to use them. I remember one time for a birthday. And birthday was always practical. Mom got me tube socks. They had just come out. They were the rage, tube socks. And the thing about tube socks is they just were a tube-shaped sock. And you could put them on before you went to school, and you didn't have to be awake. And that was the thing. You just didn't have to worry about, you know, because I'd go to school and get set there in first period and look down, I got a heel on the top of my foot. I don't even remember putting that sock on. Why doesn't it match the one on the other, you know? But I remember Mom giving me those, and I was like, yeah, they're cool, but not fun at all. Practical. That's just, you know, you want to have fun, and then after a while it gets practical, and that's not fun. I tell you, the thing about your Heavenly Father is He's not there to excite you all the time. He's there to see your soul saved. And I think in the long run, we finally buy into that. I think we do. There's no greater purpose for God than to give you His kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure, not to say, no, the door is a great place, but to say, I've got a kingdom for you. Amen. And I'll tell you, at His right hand is pleasures forevermore. Amen. He will give you peace the world can't give. I know, and we know all of these things, but I need to remind myself from time to time that my Father knows what I have need of before I ever even asked Him. The reason that I say things like this a lot, the reason I often talk about what God does through prayer, is because it was His answering my prayers as a young man that caused me to buy into this thing and say, that's the life I want. Because I realized if I wanted that car, He would get me that car. He would help me get it. If I wanted that job, He would get me that job. If I wanted a raise, I got a raise on that job. And then if I wanted a wife, I got that wife. I got the wife I asked for. Everything I wanted. Lord, give me kids. Give me healthy children. He gave me what I needed, but He also gave me what I asked. And sometimes you're not the same thing, but God will go ahead and give you what you need. And later, that need will pull you into the arena of saying, now that's what I'm asking for, is I'm asking for what I need rather than what might bring me momentary joy, because now I'm praying in the Spirit and saying, God, give me Your will and not what I desire. It's a process of growing in the Lord and becoming what we need to be. Amen. If you don't demand blessings and benefits, we end up congregating around the door. I want to live in His presence. See, this thing, this relationship with Him, we got to buy into that. It's the most awesome thing ever. It is the most awesome thing ever. Oh, Lord, there's nothing He will withhold from us. There is nothing He will withhold from us if we ask in faith, believing. Now then, the catch is you got to ask in faith, believing. I can't ask God to give me a Bengal tiger. That's not asking with faith, that's asking in foolishness. I don't need a tiger. Amen. Sometimes we pray amiss. We pray with wrong intentions. We pray because, you know, we want our enemy to be affected negatively. And God's like, I don't contract that kind of stuff out. I'll take care of those things. And I need to heal your mind more than anything. We need to understand. We pray in the will of God and he'll give us those things we need. But, oh, that's the thing that prayer does, is prayer pulls you right in the center of the lane there where we need to be with God. Oh, I got to hurry. Just a few more minutes here. There's no greater purpose than him to give us the kingdom. I'm thankful today about the benefits that he's given us. It's the kingdom virtues that really make up the difference today. You know, you feel like the gifts and the call of God maybe might have missed your front door. And you need a career. God's got it. He's got a career for you. Amen. And I know that might be a young person's point there, but there's God for that. You know, I need more patience. God will give you more patience. Amen. He'll take you through some trials because he gives it to you the right way. He don't just put powder in your water and you drink it and all of a sudden you have patience. He teaches you. Amen. That's why it's got to be a relationship. Amen. I'm telling everybody these things, and you already know it, but you know, it's just sort of securing us in it. Like, yep, we know it. We're going to keep walking down that road. Thank God. You know, I need help in my marriage. God's got that too. I need a marriage. God's got that too. Not me. I'm just saying in general, God will give us what we need. You can't keep up your prayer life. And there I hit a nerve, not because I feel it or not. I just know that prayer is often the most neglected thing we have. Amen. Prayer is the most neglected thing. And let's be honest. You're not going to be able to have a fiery prayer meeting on the job, especially if you're a clerk or you're a cashier somewhere and start bellering out a praise to God while you're, you know, checking out that. There's a time and a place for those things. But I'll tell you, one of the best things I learned, and I'll be quick, is I prayed for God to give me a place to pray, and he did. Amen. See, that's a prayer he'll answer quickly because it's a prayer about prayer. Amen. So start somewhere. God, I need you to help me to want to pray. He'll answer that prayer. God, give me the ability to know how to. He'll answer that prayer. Because, see, prayer is the key. If we don't learn to spend time with him in prayer, we will not stay in this life. We will not, because the enemy's working full time to get us out of it. And prayer will secure you. Prayer will bless you. And, oh, Lord, just pray that God will help you to pray. If that's all you can do, say, God, give me time and the ability to pray, and it will lead you right into everything you need to be in God. Prayer will do that. Amen. Yes, it will. You remember the prayer of Jabez? That book came out, and the whole nation started praying finally. And I thought it was a cool book. I got it. You can read it in about, you know, 30 minutes. And, man, the guy made a mint selling those books. And everybody else made more than that by reading it. And churches were transformed. People were testifying of great things. It wasn't Jabez. Prayer is the fact that people finally were praying. Right. It was an entrance into prayer. It says, hey, all you got to do is do this. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. His name meant sorrow. Wouldn't you like that name? And Jabez called on the God of Israel. This is in Chronicles chapter 4, where there's like seven solid chapters of nothing but chronologies. This one beget that one. And right in the middle of it, he called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And pretty much that's the book right there. He kind of extrapolates on all these points, but it's all factual and it works. It doesn't matter if you follow Jabez's prayer, you follow the Lord's prayer, you just get a hold of God and start praying. He answers prayer. If you're praying wrong, you're praying, and God will take your knowledge and turn you around and show you what to pray. But the prayer has to take place. God granted him, and God will grant us. His disciple says, Lord, teach us how to pray. Amen. One thing I have time for, and I know I've used this illustration before, but just it fits here. When I worked in a construction job in Texas, we just got married, and my job was called expediter. That means you go get stuff and bring it here for us, and that's what I did. And my foreman would take me a slip, and he'd sign a slip. And on that slip, he'd say, go to the warehouse, and he goes, I'm going to sign this, and you go get us the pens, the pads, the pencil sharp, all these things we need to run our office here. And I'd go there, and they had everything. That warehouse was packed. It was a massive warehouse. And I'd go to him and get another. He'd have to sign something, and I'd go get it. Well, then there's other people that needed things. I had a lot of crews I was doing things for. And finally, I thought, I need to be able to go without my foreman having to sign for everything I'm getting, because these people are needing all kind of tools and things. So I wrote on there one day, I need a requisition book. On the requisition page, and he signed it, and I said, here, I need one of these books that these pages are in. He goes, yep, got one right here. When I got a hold of that requisition book, I was the most popular guy in the plant. I was getting them things before they even asked for them, because I could tell where the job was getting to, or where their group was at, their crew, and I knew tomorrow they're going to need this, and tomorrow this one's going to, and I would drive up before they ever ask and say, I got it for you. See, my purpose was, I was trying to let them keep me on that truck because it was a cushy job. I'm being real with you right now. But I learned a thing or two, and see, that's what we have to realize through prayer. Lord, I don't want to be at the door. I want to get a hold of the power of asking, and I want to grow this kingdom through faith and then through thanksgiving. Amen. Let us stand in Jesus' name. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Father, I thank you for the benefits, Lord. Thank you, God, today that there is greatness in your kingdom, Lord, places that we can dwell. But, Lord, you've made it simple for us, and I thank you today for the simplicity, God, of your work in your kingdom. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all.